Welcome everybody to episode 107 of High Tech on the Low. Ohad, how are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. It's very nice to be here.
Awesome. We're really happy to have Ohad Ronen, CEO and co-founder of Rikord, in the studio. And we're going to get into all that and what you guys are doing to kind of change the world of IT support and all that world.
Yeah.
In the meantime, as always, we are sponsored by Front Team and JB Upscale with 3,000 members and a dedicated marketing team all ready to support you. And, you know, today we're going to get really into the world of, you know, IT, as we just mentioned, and support teams. And if you like what you hear, please throw us a like, a subscribe, or a follow, and we'll really appreciate it. So, Ohad, I want you to kind of go into the world with me of what Rikord even is and where you came up with that idea.
So, it's two different questions, and we will start maybe talking about a little bit what is Rikord all about. So, Rikord basically helps companies to save expensive time spent on SaaS technical issues.
Okay. So what is that? Like when I like have an issue with my, I don't know, just something, like I can't find something, there's a bug or...
Yeah, there is a bug is the right way to think about that. And basically we develop an AI-powered observability layer that monitors and automate the resolution process.
Okay.
Okay? We help companies to understand basically what got wrong and what could go wrong.
In their software.
In the software, anytime. And basically this problem is $2.4 trillion losses for companies every year.
Okay.
And they invest over $86 billion trying to solve that on QA resources, more developers, more support tiers.
Okay.
But even if you have like the best support tiers in the world, in order to solve those problems, it takes some time, even days.
Okay.
And even if you have like the best team in the world, it takes time and it involves a lot of manual work.
So basically what happens in like the lifeline of a problem, we can say, right, is like I have a problem, Jordan has a problem, I go to Ohad on the other end of the software chat, I say, hey Ohad, I got this, isn't working, the form isn't sending, whatever's happening.
Exactly.
And then you get it and you have to look into it and you go through what, research, talking to your supervisor, talking to the dev team.
Exactly. The process is starting from the end user, and then the support takes it, and we look on all the process that ends in the internal teams,
okay,
like R&D or product.
Sure.
So there is a lot of ping pong both sides, from the end user part and the company side.
Okay.
And you need to find a lot of logs to understand what happened, doing a lot of research. There is a lot of going back and forth communication to understand things.
Sure.
And communicate that to others, right? So what we do is basically automate all this process and take out all the manual work. We basically, using AI, and the recent advancement help us to do that, and going through all the logs for you. And we can understand things that human being could do.
What a human can.
Yeah. You can understand what a human can, and we do that in a way that no human being could, basically.
So what does that mean? Like, I, in terms of looking at the logs, like me, you know, as a support staff person, I look at it and I see kind of like one thing. I just see, okay, you know, this person has an error with the form being sent, right?
Exactly.
And you see it. What do you see?
So we see the exact same things. We see the front logs, we see the back logs, we see window attributes of the client, we see his behavior, clicks, and stuff like that. So we can get some understanding on what happened based on past events. So all the way how it works today, that there is a lot of R&D people and support people that looks on those logs and use their experience, right, to understand what happened, to have this gut feeling.
Okay.
But with today's technology, you don't need that.
Okay.
What you need is basically let an AI deal that for you and let you understand what happened as quick as a click of a button.
Wow. So basically you're saying, I mean, it sounds to me like the time then to actually like fix a problem is like cut, I don't know, what do you guys claim? In half, in a third, and
something like that. But there is a lot of more benefit to that. But yeah, we aim to cut also the operation cost and the time by at least 50%.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you. You know, it's funny because, you know, in my initial, you know, thinking of it, I'm like, that's kind of boring. You know what I mean? You're just helping like IT guys like get their lives together. But then I think about it. I just myself the other day had an issue with Facebook and actually had an issue with Google. I'm a marketer, right? And I'm working with these ads. And I couldn't like figure out what it was. And, you know, I had to go on, maybe five different support chats. I talked to guys on the phone even, you know, and really at the end of the day, I mean, one, Google, thank God, worked itself out, but Facebook I'm still dealing with. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, what would you, if they had Record, if today Facebook had it, what would happen?
It's amazing because what you mentioned is what happened in big companies that they have more and more support tiers. Basically, it's called escalation. Okay. You start from a ticket, and then the first guy you talk to is doesn't have a lot of experience with bugs or technical issues.
Sure.
And then you start escalate to more experienced teams.
Okay.
So this is what you experienced.
Okay.
This is what you experienced. Basically, you going over and jump from another to another person to another person that more experience and might help you with your problem. With Record, basically what happens that they will have all the information needed and get the understanding what happened. And even we can provide you with a sense what happened.
Sure.
We don't do that right now, but we can tell you, you know what, you experienced bug. This is might be the issue. And to find the correlation and the similarities between all the people that experienced same like you.
Okay.
For example, if you like running an extension on your browser.
Sure.
Or you have like a specific version of Chrome browser.
Sure.
So this is might be the cause to the problem. And we can say to you, you know what? You're going to experience that not only on Facebook and Google, but you're going to experience that on other CRMs. So what you need to do is just upgrade your browser.
Right.
Those kind of things Record can understand on the fly about you and about the company.
It also seems, and then you make it easier too on everyone in the process, because instead of having to go to the next guy to figure out what the little bug is,
you don't need that
thing. You just can say, "Oh, dude, just update." You know, it's all good, right?
Yeah,
exactly. And it's kind of like that, almost like that. You know, I like to call it the smart stupid. It's like, you know, oh yeah, just update your browser. You know what I mean? It's nothing insane.
But it's really hard to understand where the problem is, because in the end, it's really hard for a human being to look on all the data,
right,
and try to understand where the problem lies, where is the root cause.
Uh-huh.
Because there is a lot of different things, there is a lot of errors. So what is the similarities here? What can be the root cause for that? This is why a lot of support teams doing reproduce issues, like they trying to create the same thing on their computer. And for them, it always works. So you try to ask yourself, what happened? And for that, you need to see a lot of data points and look on these problems like a doctor. You
sure.
see, when somebody going in the winter to a doctor with symptoms of flu, you know, fever and stuff like that,
right.
he will say, you have flu because I saw a lot of other people
right.
like you. I know what you probably have. So we have the same mechanism and thought about like user problems and issues on softwares.
That's interesting. That's also a good kind of point right there, kind of how you guys are like the doctors of the whole system, trying to be a little bit more objective, I guess you could say, in that sense, and not just rely on experience. Now, it sounds to me that you yourself, like, just I feel like the passion in you, it sounds like you yourself experienced this crap, basically. You
know? Yeah.
Like you've hit this wall. I know you said you had a computer science background, so I don't know if you yourself were even working in the dev teams and stuff on that side, but where did this idea come from? Because, you know, to me, in a sense, it doesn't seem like something that would just fall out of thin air, you know what I mean, that would just come to you. You would have to really experience this.
I've been an entrepreneur from the moment that I remember myself, and I thought that computer science is the new canvas to do your art,
okay.
basically.
Interesting.
So I deal with a lot of bugs over my life, and we always laugh about that, me and my co-founder, that if we didn't been like entrepreneurs, we'd probably been bug farmers, because this is what we do for the last 14 years. So when we started our first venture, because we pivoted, it started from trying to teach others on stuff. So
what do you mean about bugs or about
no tutorials in general? We thought that if we can provide better explanations on how you can use the product, people will gain more value and can use the product better. But then we understand that the one in charge on the product knowledge base is the support team. The reason is to reduce the number of tickets open, basically create what we called self-serve support.
Okay.
And we understand that there is no need, or it's the product team look very different on those tutorials. So we said, you know what, we kind of trying to understand, or we understand these support people. Let's try to build something for them and see if we can really cut the handle time of the tickets and stuff like that. And you, and step by step, we going into the phase of record. Because when we started, it was like a little experiment for 2 weeks. We said we want to create a really tiny product that we can market in a 2 weeks period.
Okay.
And
why after, so? Why just 2 weeks?
Because we've been in a point that we thought that something doesn't work and we need to change.
Okay. So you wanted to test kind of this
idea. So we have a few test ideas that we said maybe we'll try to like create an MVP for that, and we tried how it goes. And after 1 month, I think we passed the traction that we have on 1 year and a half and at Tuto.
Wow.
So we understood.
Wait, in 2 weeks, you guys passed the amount of users that you guys had in a year and a half on Tuto?
On months. That it was like, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So it was crazy.
That's a pretty good result. You know, that tells you a lot right there.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Definitely. And we learned a lot of that.
Sure.
From the process and how to launch products. And
I mean, how was the pivot too? Because I mean, that seems pretty fundamental to go from like basically working on tutorials to all of a sudden changing your entire model in about 2 weeks. That's honestly the fastest pivot I've heard probably on the show so far.
As I look at that, we're entrepreneurs. And I look on what we build as the company, and the company is not the product, and the product is not the company.
Okay.
And the idea here is to create big, sustainable company that can serve others and provide value. And when you get a certain point in time that you understand that you don't deliver this value, it's time to change, to find what you can provide the market as a company.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really easy to let something that we already created and put a lot of effort in, let it go, because it's not a company. It's a mean for the company to succeed.
So you really see it kind of like every element is a little separate. Your goal is to provide value to whoever it is that you're providing value, and you're going to do that whatever way possible within your context.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to kind of, I'm going to bring us back to more of the solution itself a little bit. I just had to ask you about the pivot because it's wild to me. 2 weeks, I'm like, that's wild. I'm like, you know, you hear people on this show talk about, you know, they're thinking about it for 2-3 months, maybe a year, and you did it like 2 weeks, got the traction. It's incredible. So I had to just go into that. But back to the actual function, like when I am, you mentioned this whole self-serve support thing. Now, I'm thinking to myself, we have all these chatbots today, and we have all these server bots and the support reps who are AI now that they're trying to, you know, build out.
Amazing technology, by the way.
Amazing technology. Where does, like, Record come in? Are you guys trying to also disrupt that kind of self-serve system, or are you almost a layer on top?
We think about support as two different layers. We have the chatbots that mostly need to help you with tier one. Like, I don't know how to do something, give me a refund, stuff like that.
Okay.
When something become technical,
mm-hmm.
then Records come in.
Okay.
And there is much more than user issues into that, because it's going into all the cycle of development.
Okay.
It can help R&D teams, it can help QA to find really fast bugs. So today, the industry launch very fast features. Like, so when you launch so fast, sometimes there is a lot of bugs on the way, and you need to fix it very fast.
Right.
So you can use Record inside your processes, your company processes, in order to, you know what, you're going to be okay, because we can also fix it very fast. So let's ship.
So are you focused a lot then on like kind of companies and growth, let's say, you know, like
definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
So what do you kind of go to them? What do you tell them? Is that how you sell to them, or like how does it work?
When we approach companies, by the way, a lot of them are self-serve, really low touch, coming to the website, sign up, doing all the registration and the implementation by themselves. But when we talk about like what Records can provide you, it's very easy to tell the company, you have a lot of ping pong in your company.
Sure.
You're looking at a lot of logs from different places, and there is no tool to provide you like clarity about what need to be done or what goes wrong, what could go wrong. And it's very easy sell. Because when we talk to the customer support, they doesn't have nothing help them with the technical issue. They just have like the ticket system.
Okay.
They have the Zendesk, they have the Intercom. Right now, they have maybe also some support analytics tools.
Okay. But it's pretty legacy system is what you're telling me then.
It's
like something, it's a very, you know, kind of old style, like here's the ticket, yo,
and
you
the thing are not, the thing that the tools are not connected. And this is amazing.
Okay.
You have tools for the product, you have tools for support, you have tools for R&D.
And there's no integration.
No. And then you start talking with those people and you find out that support using product tools to doing a certain job, then the R&D need to provide some permission to the support to see some logs in order to understand something. And you,
it's so fragmented, yeah, it sounds like.
You understand that there is a lot of mess over there,
uh-huh,
that need to be streamlined. And there is also different people, the support teams always changing very fast.
Sure.
The R&D is really different people. They, you know, focusing on coding and they think that they know everything.
Sure.
No offense. I'm just, you know, I'm just like,
no, you're not offending me. I'm a marketer. I agree.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
So those, clashing between those types of people, creating a lot of room to improvement and a lot of opportunity, sure, to provide better value to the company and in the, mm-hmm, end to the end user.
Okay. Now, you know, it sounds to me, I mean, that you guys have had really an amazing kind of growth in the last years. How old is the company, by the way?
We 3 years, right now, but the pivot been like 1 year ago. So we run with record for 1 year now.
So we can say like this new version is at least a year old, basically.
Yeah.
And you guys have grown entirely from clients, or have you also taken on investors?
No, we have investors.
Okay.
That support us from the beginning. Basically, our story is very different from other story startup might. So
how so?
We started with nothing, basically. We don't have the idea. And then a friend of mine that been on Techstar told me there is a new batch. So
why don't you apply, kind of?
Yeah, and I thought to myself, no, it's you know, it's take us out of the course and we need to focus on the MVP,
sure,
doing some research.
Sure.
And then after talking with my co-founders, we said, why not like apply this thing and we see how it goes. Let's not close the door.
Maximum, you don't get in and you just continue going with what you're doing.
And sure, then we kind of succeed going through every step in the way.
Okay.
There is total 8 steps to going through. And recreating the presentation during those interviews.
Sure.
And in the end, from 400 companies, we've been in the 10 elected. So we get money from day one to the company and we left everything and we start working on that.
So just from Techstars, just from that one moment, you guys were able to catapult yourself forward.
It starts from there, basically. Like we don't have like, we've been in ideation.
Okay.
On the moment that we applied to Techstars. And then after 6 months, I think, we had a pre-seed round, including Sarona Ventures, including Gem Ventures, that is Peter Tilmani,
okay,
invested by Justin Martin, that is the CMO, was the CMO of Tinder, as and one of the co-founders, Aaron Harris, that been partner at YC, mm-hmm, Y Combinator, Leo Sion, that was one of the founders and CTO and CPO for Bring.
But it sounds like you had like a lot of guys who really understood this problem from the inside, right? Because they themselves were running, in a sense, these major companies or were a part of tech ventures and understood kind of the support issue.
I think that back then, we get the money when we've done like Tuto, not for record. And I think that we succeed to raise the money not because what we have done, but because the people that we've been.
Like, what do you mean?
We show them that we're really hard worker. So Sarona Venture provide us a place to work in as part of the Sigma program. And they saw us in the office every day working from the beginning to end. Like, we opened the offices and we closed the offices.
So you were like the Michael Jordans of the accelerator right there. First on the court, last off the court, going in, going to the meetings.
Yeah. And when they saw that, they helped us also close the round. And we for Lior Sion, for example, we know each other from university. When I've been like first year, we've done a job about him, and then in mentor a project that I've done on the third year. So when I have like something that is really strong, I call him and say, hey man, I want you to mentor my new venture, but I also want you as an investor. And he say, yes, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, so everything is connected and you know, your journey and the people that you met.
But did they like also understand the crux of the issue? You know, like did they understand what you were trying to do? Like, or was it a hard sell with a lot of these guys?
No, I think that they trust on us to understand what we do. And they trust on us to take the decision that will take the company to a good place. Of course, they need to resonate with the, you know, with the idea. And I think they had. But then we pivoted. And then they need to resonate again with the new idea. But I think in those moments or in those stages of companies, you put your money on the entrepreneurs and you want them to succeed. And also trends. So it's trends and markets, but also entrepreneurs.
Well, it's interesting what you're talking about, too, because, you know, we have a lot of people who come on the show and a lot of people always talk about how the team is the most important, right? Whether it's from the side of the investor or the side of the founder, your team is very important. And I feel like right now you've really kind of nailed something, right, which is that, you know, listen, like we came in and they funded us as Tuto. And then like, you know, 2 years later, we changed our name and they still funded us. They're still behind us. You know, they still enjoy us because of who we are. Now, in that context, how did you go about finding your co-founder? Because I think that's something here that could be really useful for people at home listening about how you choose that right partner.
It's a great question. From our side, it was from university. All of us like learn together. So it was really easy. We worked together on different stuff. So it was really natural.
But you guys knew each other.
Yeah, for at least like 3 years before we started work together. And I think I talk with a lot of other entrepreneurs and I see sometimes like relationship that works very well and sometimes relationship that doesn't work very well.
Sure. Just like anything, right?
You know? I have friends that meet from LinkedIn post.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. A CEO that found his CTO from LinkedIn post.
I mean, heck, I found my business partner through a WhatsApp group.
Yeah, like, so you know. I think it's really depend, but when you start working together, you need to have the same core values and to understand that you into that together and you put a lot of effort into what you want to build. And sometimes problems occur when there is no alignment between what you expected from your partner to what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then things start cracking.
Right.
And if
so, you either have to align again or...
Yeah, and then you need to start talking about that. Uh-huh. It's basically like any relationship.
Yeah,
but
right?
Yeah, and I think the relationship with your co-founder, you with them more than your partner for life, like kind of thing, if all of you work in a work.
Right.
So most of the time, it's you need to take a decision with them, you need to be aligned with them, you need to trust them, and they need to trust you. So it's really, really important.
Yeah, for sure. You know, normally I like to actually end the episode on that note about kind of your advice for entrepreneurs. But right now, because you basically did that, I have one last question for you before we end.
Yeah.
And I want you to actually know about kind of what's in the store. What's in the store? What's in store for Record in the next, let's call it year, you know, especially when you see all these, as you mentioned, AI revolutions coming up. And you see other kind of, you know, trends, whether it's blockchain, whether it's certain decentralized elements of search or whatever. I'd love to hear from what you guys are up to.
I'm a really strong believer in the generative AI kind of things. I think we are only in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And people who read a little bit about researches and learn about the new models. You know, right now everybody talked about LLMs, large language models, but you have a lot of others. And you have also models that combine more than one model that can do amazing things on robotics, on... So we're gonna see different lives really, really fast. And those technology is scaling exponentially, not linear. So every paper is much more insane from the paper that come before it. And for Record, I think we are in an amazing position to creating amazing things with those technologies, creating like call it a big brain, call it like industry experience, knowledge base that can basically understand from a lot of different use cases and businesses to extract the essence and the insights for other companies that will come and will to be very valuable for every developer and every customer support out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy that we have the opportunity to play with this technology and create new stuff for it. It's really exciting. And I think for entrepreneurs that hearing this podcast, going and explore opportunities with AI, it's amazing field. And there is a lot to read out there and a lot of things to do. Even if you doesn't have the technical background, because it's kind of democratized right now. You can use the models, you can use the infrastructure. You just need to think what you can do with that and learn that and do that, you know, to deep and dig into that.
Sure.
To create like amazing, cool stuff.
Very cool. It sounds like your canvas is very blank right now in the field of AI and you're just excited to go for it.
Definitely. It's really amazing field.
I love it. Well, listen, Oad, thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I think Record has a very interesting future ahead of it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And wish you all the best.
You too. Thank you for having me.